Welcome.
Welcome to Say Smut, a literary podcast for readers and non-readers.
Thank you for joining us here at the tail end of 2024. That is Sarah, and she still likes to read books.
And last time I checked, Hope still likes to talk to me. Otherwise, she would not be here. We made it through a full year. Last year, we had like a half year because we started in the summer.
True.
And so this year, during this mini episode, we're going to look back at our year in review.
Yes.
And I'm going to start by asking Hope some ridiculous questions because why the hell not? And then we're going to go through our top rankings of episodes. So if you're like, I just started with you guys, I just got hooked on this podcast, I would recommend that you pause this and you go back and you finish listening to this year's stuff so you know what we're referencing. Mm-hmm. And then you come back and you chat with us, or you're going to listen to this episode and you're going to be like, that sounds redonkulous. I specifically want to listen to that episode.
100%.
So we are going to give out the titles of the episodes too, with all the books we're talking about, so you can go find what we're talking about. But we've had kind of a monster filled year as I was reflecting.
It got wacky. I like that we cover a lot of wacky smut. It got wacky this year.
Yeah, no. You could see the progression over the year because like we started with Taming the Minotaur.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to like I think it's always kind of a culture shock when we go from like a monster smut or like a some sort of sentient romance to like contemporary.
Yeah, clean cute.
Yes.
Romancing yes. Mr. Bridgerton.
Literally. Oh, yeah. That was kind of our other big accomplishment.
Yeah, we did that.
We did a read-along, and that was very fun. Yeah.
Hope read a big, what is considered not a big book. I can read, guys. I'm not a bad reader.
She does read, you guys.
I swear I can read. I feel like Leah Michelle.
No, it's so funny because I did a post recapping our year. And I think when I made this post, it was a couple of weeks ago. So I believe we've done 27 books now this year. And of those books, our top most listened episodes coming in at number 5 was Twisted Love by Anna Huang, episode 37.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Number 4 was Mating with Malos. Episode 32.
Y'all are silly.
Number 3 was Cleat Cute. Mm-hmm. Episode 31. Uh-huh. Number 2 was Butcher and Blackbird. Episode 38.
Cool.
And then number 1, I kind of put these together because it was Romancing Mr. Bridgerton's Read-Along. Episodes 29 and 30. And nice. Again, it's kind of fun because most of these are obviously like the book talk sensations. People are finding us because they're searching mm-hmm. some of these things and maybe because they're more familiar with them. But I love that Mating with Malos is just wedged in there.
They're coming for the Bridgertons, but they're staying for the Malos.
Yeah, no, we hope you stay for the Corn Daddies and the Malos and the Minotaurs. But let's jump into some of my questions I have for you.
Okay.
I also have a spreadsheet up of all of our episodes just so
I
can have those on call when I need to think of what's going on. Okay, we're gonna first play Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Okay,
are you ready?
Yep.
So we have Corn Daddy from Corn Daddy episode 39.
Mm-hmm.
Asterius from Taming the Minotaur episode 21. And the Malos from Mating with Malos, episode 32.
Okay. I feel like on principle, I have to kill the Malos.
Oh, why? Because why is that principle? Why is that staple?
Just, when it was just, if I think about fucking them or marrying them, I think about being so sticky all the time.
Fair. Nope. That's a fair argument.
So I'm going to immediately kill the Malos. I'm so sorry. I think I will fuck Corn Daddy and marry the Minotaur.
Oh, well, you know, like the Minotaur was kind of like a nerdy cute. Yeah. Like he was like very like kind of like shy, socially awkward.
Yeah, we love it.
No, I would be too scared of marrying Corn Daddy, but I would fuck him.
I would fuck him.
Okay. One more fuck, marry, quick kill.
Okay.
Okay. Krampus from Naughty Mrs. Claus, episode 46. Don Juan from Don Juan Velociraptor, episode 27. And then Hess from Riding the Headless Horseman, episode 40.
Oh, that is difficult.
Yep.
Because who do I want to spend an eternity loving and cherishing forever and ever?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the Krampus.
Okay.
That's fine. I don't know that I... Do you have more details on Hess that I could help refresh my memory? Because obviously I know everything there is to know about Don Juan Velociraptor.
I do. For those who don't know, she does cover a couple of episodes every once in a while, and Don Juan Velociraptor was kind of your baby. It was a big project. Okay, so Hess, if you recall, kidnaps our girl in the middle of the woods. I can't quite remember why he did it. But he takes her back to the lair. We have the talk. You get to hang out with that talking horse.
Oh, yeah. And then leave and come back and find his head.
Yes. She totally left and came, she left for a year. She kind of ghosted him for a year and came back with his head. And then you texted me with the super valid point that she never technically rode him.
True.
When he was headless. True. Because when she was on top, he technically had a head.
That's true.
So anyway, yeah, that was a little more about Hess.
Oh man, this is so difficult. I'm obviously marrying Don Juan Velociraptor. Oh. You know Don Juan, because I'm going to be fucking him while I marry him. And that's just a lifelong.
Yeah, and he's so rich.
And he's so good at it.
Yeah, he's apparently like he's the sexy god. Yeah. Okay.
So I guess I'm going to kill Hess and fuck Krampus.
That was not how I thought you were going to go, but okay.
No, I understand. And I love a talking horse. And trust me, that is a hard thing to let go of because I want to hang out with this talking horse all the time.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a big hassle to have to go and find a head buried in a mass grave and bring it back. And it's a whole thing. And like, that's a lot for just sleeping with someone.
So you'd rather have Krampus break into your house.
Yeah, that's fine.
Hired
and
by
then
your
I don't
husband.
Have to go anywhere.
And if
Krampus, he's hired, then I assume he's been vetted. So I don't have a problem with it.
That's so, and he's your friend. Like, I mean, they sounded like they were low key friends. So
yeah, we're like,
okay, fair.
We're like, he's like, I'm going to punish you. But we're like, wink. I'm like, Krampus.
And then you lean over the desk and flip up your skirt.
I'm possibly horny Mrs. Claus.
Okay. So now I'm going to actually save this next question for last because I think it's the most important.
Ooh, I can't wait.
What do you think is the best location to fall in love? Okay. A Christmas contest, like in How My Neighbor Stole Christmas, episode 47. B, on an athletic team, like in Cleek Cute in episode 31. C, in a lake cabin, like in Silver Foxed, episode 34. And D, at the scene of a crime, like in Butcher and Blackbird, episode 38.
Yeah, having spent 5 years covering crime scenes, I can tell you there's no better place to fall in love than at one. So I will say I've got kind of a tie going. The Christmas contest is cute because, you know, it's warm, it's light, it's Christmas stuff. Like that's super cute. I like on a team.
I do because it's that tension and it's that, okay, I've got to work and act like we're not having some sexual tension.
It also implies a real Hope Wilson way of finding people to date or like, which is you have to know them beforehand in
that's
like
fair.
A really common way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's totally fair.
If we're on a team, then by forced proximity, you may find and like me eventually. And that's...
Yeah, forced proximity. If you are forced to be around me, you'll find my charms are less annoying and more adorable.
After days and days of wearing you down with my grating humor and non-stop random music lyric remembering and facts, you will fall in love with me.
Well, as somebody who fell in love with you in a workplace romance, I did fall in love with you immediately because soon as we were alone together, you were like, so do you want to hear the tea about our workplace?
Let me tell you about the heinous person we'll work for.
Yeah, it was literally hilarious. I was like,
shatter the illusion of this workplace to you before you've even started.
Yeah, I was like, this woman is my soulmate. Okay. Which plot had the best, like, tropey stereotype, okay, that you liked from this year? We've got a couple of each of these. I just use reference points, but, like, because we have a couple of marriages of conveniences.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So I'm just giving a reference point. So A, marriage of convenience, like a hellhound called Derek, which, by the way, I wrote this and apparently wrote a hell house called
Derek. A hell house called Derek.
A hellhound called Derek in episode 23. B, insta-love, like in Resolution Revolution, episode 22. Friends to lovers, like in Romancing Mr. Bridgerton, episode 29 and 30. and the workplace romance, like in Don Juan Velociraptor episode 27, or, you know, the other one you covered, which was Monster Pucker.
Oh, yeah. Lots of workplace romance. It's actually none of those. It's Fated Mates, Man and Hockey Stick.
Here's the thing. That wasn't a fucking option.
Doesn't matter. My favorite one is none of those, because my favorite one is when your hockey stick is your fated mate, made just for your butthole.
Equipment fated mate.
That's Handle Me by Unfortunate Reads.
Yes. Okay. But sorry. If you had to choose between these four.
Workplace. Yeah, still workplace, because of my need for forced proximity to meet people.
It is alarming that you had two books this year, and both of them had to do with a woman, a female journalist.
Specifically a female journalist really, really losing the plot on journalistic ethics.
Yes. And then going after people she's supposed to be covering for her job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Amazing. All right. Choose a sentient object to fall in love with. Specifically, you do have to deal with them when they are in their object form.
Well, okay? I figured. Yeah.
A, Stick from Handle Me in episode 43.
Mm-hmm.
B, Lux from Light Me Up, episode 33. C, Marco and Cody from Help I Fell in Love with a Pair of Crocs, episode 25. And D, Olimer from Alien Mannequin, episode 35.
It's Marco and Cody.
Really? Mm-hmm. Why?
I actually have them in some of the questions we're going to address later.
Shut up.
Yeah. So I'll just save it.
When I was reflecting, I was like, that was kind of a freaking wild plot, because it's like a missing persons, like.
It's, we'll get into it when I answer the question that it's involved in. We'll get into it.
Okay. Here's my last question.
Uh-huh. I'm ready.
Who do you think has the most creative genitals? Okay. Mm-hmm. A, Elf from Elfed by Ginger Kane, uh-huh. episode 48. Our last episode.
Yep.
B, Jack Jr. from Jack 2, episode 41. Zaka from Bagged by the Groceries, episode 44. And Nick from Smashed by the Christmas Inflatables, episode 46.
Ooh. Well, the thing about Zaka is that I was so overcome with surprise and whimsy when, like, I guess I just kind of figured that cum would be whatever the thing that was serving as his penis was. Yeah. Not that it would be another element of the groceries that had been purchased. So when he yogurt came, that really blew my mind. Jack Jr. probably creatively has the most going on, because there's a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah.
As long as you're not offended by the fact that his dick and his dad's dick are dead the same.
Yeah. And technically, I feel like that's a cheap cop out, because we had it last year. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm still shooketh from Elf. The fact that we've got a rotating penis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's red and white striped. Uh-huh. And it tastes like vanilla.
In the back of your throat when he finishes,
even
from the other end.
The other end.
But that is pretty crazy.
Yeah, no, I get it. Okay. Those were my questions to kick us off. I now want us to go through some of our best options. And so to start us off, what was the best title you feel like we had this year?
That's going to be Helena Woodcock's Corn Daddy, because I believe that's one that you couldn't put in the title, because it would just give it away. And it says it all.
I also had Corn Daddy. Because this is our podcast and we make the rules, I do have multiple answers for multiple questions.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And my runner up is Monster Pucker, because that's fun.
That's good. I do like Monster Pucker.
Because like Smashed by the Christmas Inflatables, or like ones like that, like Bagged by the Groceries, those mm-hmm. are funny.
Yeah, but like, I do love those. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't know. There's a subtleness of these names that are also very alarming. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It just tickles my fancy. Okay, best main character we had this year.
Okay, my real answer based on merit and personality is Penelope by Romancing Mr. Bridgerton. But I mean, duh, she's a queen and an icon. Loved her in the book, love her in the show. But my favorite answer is, I'm so glad we got here, Cody and Marco.
And okay, why are they your other options?
These poor kids were cursed by their seemingly homophobic grandpa to be a pair of Crocs for having painted their nails sparkly purple, and then so specifically destined to only come alive inside a secondhand shop forever. That's, they had to deal with so much. Mm-hmm. One, they've got like, one is a little more, I think, like forward, exciting personality. One's a little more held back. They've got sparkly purple nail polish, and I just love them, and they've been through a lot.
They have. You know what? Now that you mentioned, I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
I definitely had Penelope from Bridgerton as well.
Obviously.
But I did make a list of two women I hate from this year. Okay. And that's not me hating women. I just, if you listen to the episodes, I hated these bitches.
We have issues with some characters.
Okay, we have Beleria from Ravished by the Triceratops.
I was just thinking about her.
She was such a pick-me girl, and she was so mean for like, no reason.
I'm going to go off by myself and find the dinosaur.
Yeah, and like, she was like, I don't know, the whole thing was just like I don't know. I wish I could, like, just go fucking listen to the episode. I don't know.
You'll understand.
She just was like such a pick-me girl, and like a, but maybe it was because there was like a competitive nature to the storyline that she was like, you guys have nothing on me. I have a hot body and a hot boyfriend who's the chieftain's mm-hmm. son and mm-hmm. whatever. The other woman is, yes, of course, Molly from Alien Mannequin. She was so mean to Ollymore. Sorry,
so
not Pollymore.
Mean.
Ollymore. He was pouring out his heart and soul into that woman, and she was just like, sure, yeah, your dick's great. Okay. Crazy. Anyway. No respect. That marriage or union or whatever they ended up doing, when they went back to his alien planet, just would not have lasted. She would have gone to divorce court, absolutely taken him for everything he had.
You could tell. Which, yeah. I wonder what all he had.
Yeah, I do. Well, I do.
I wonder what all he had.
Okay. Best cover of the year.
We wrote these. Well, I still
Wait, hold on. What are you judging the covers on? Because I'm judging them based on like the art style that I like.
I'm judging them on which ones I saw that made my heart sing. The premise I thought we'd all be judging it on.
Okay.
We did write these before we did Elfed. And I don't think this would have changed my ranking, but it is worth noting that the Elfed cover is very funny. You should
know it is very funny.
If you aren't also Googling the covers of these books while you're listening to this podcast, you've missed out on something great, and you always should.
And I always try and put them on our socials to some degree. So yes, like, you yes. can get in there.
The one that made me laugh the very most, which is about my threshold for what makes a good cover, is Ravished by the Triceratops by Christy Sims and
you're
a
writer
of Branwyn. Yeah. So you may recall, audience, if you listened, that this, I described this cover of having like, it's got like a lady in a bikini just kind of laying sexily in the middle of a path on a forest. It's not even like a big deep forest. It's like a, it looks like a forest that maybe you could go on a hike on. And then a way, way, way too small triceratops that is, I assume her love interest, is standing by her, like way too small.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree that we had some pretty iconic, I would say that I based mine off of just like, if I saw it in a store, I would absolutely pick it up. Like it was more just like an artistic style of
right.
mine, because like, I would argue that like, yes, Ravished by the Triceratops. Also Corn Daddy had a great cover. It was mm-hmm. very moody. Scream for the Scarecrow had like a very like spooky-esque
yes.
One. But my favorite covers were Riding the Headless Horseman had such cute art.
True.
Like for an indie writer and probably an independent writer, like I bet that she put her whole kapussy in that.
Her whole kapussy.
Yeah. And then also I love How My Neighbor Stole Christmas. I think that's such a cute little cover too.
That is also a very cute cover. I love that.
Okay. Most interesting research. This is your bread and butter.
For me, it was by research titled Croc Madness, Footwear Fad, or Croc of Shit. You decide. I learned a lot about the glow up of Crocs from being like a practical footwear for people who like are boaters or nurses or other yeah. kinds of workers, to being like a very collector edition, get all the gibbets kind of fun shoe. I was especially really interested learning about the range of collaborations with Crocs, because you've got like Bad Bunny and SZA, but then you've got like Balenciaga, but then you've got like Hidden Valley Ranch, and people mm-hmm. just go crazy pants for this stuff. That was really fun research to do.
I did consider that mm-hmm. when I was gonna put it down. I was gonna put it down as my answer, but I am such a mythology and history person mm-hmm. that I chose the Minotaurs and the Hellhounds, because I just love, I love like the little lore behind it. That's always my favorite. And when you got a little couple stories to back up, like how did we come up with, you always do a good job of being like, this is where this story came from versus like, then it evolved into this. And this is how we changed that lore and whatever.
It came to America because so-and-so wrote about it in the early 1900s or late
Americans 1800s. Take everything.
Once it hits American lit, holy cow.
Holy cow, can't stop us. Okay, so my next question is, what's the sexiest book of the year?
And I selected two because this is our podcast and we can make the rules.
I also selected two.
The first one I picked was one that I read and scored highly for, read and scored highly for some, obviously. The second one is just one that I looked back and had scored highly. So obviously we've covered so many sexy books. And you also have to remember that it is much harder for me, Hope, to remember how smutty everything is because I'm never actually reading the majority of the books unless it's one I brought. Like, my perception of how smutty something is based on Sarah's ability to describe how smutty it was when she read it.
The pressure.
I know. So anyway, just keep that in mind. My first one, the smut that I liked the most that I read was Monster Pucker by Cleo Evans and Ashley Bennett.
Yeah.
It was great. We got intimacy between men. We got threesomes. We're switching partners. People are watching. The pregnancy was pretty crazy. Who knows? Yeah. There was just like a lot to enjoy. Please don't have sex in a relatively public team locker room is all I ask, but
at work,
your teammates don't deserve it and you should get fired from your journalism job.
Yes.
The second one we gave high ranks to was Handle Me from Unfortunate Reads, got fives from us for its smut.
Yeah. So, I mean, like how many ways can you fuck a hockey stick?
Yeah, like I wouldn't necessarily call it male solo play since the hockey stick was technically sentient, but it's basically that. And there was magical hockey stick ejaculation.
Yes, there was
all kinds of stuff going on.
Yes,
and we liked it.
I chose a monster one and a contemporary one just to kind of try and keep things even. I think it's easy for us to like again focus on the craziness of the monster ones, but then like I'm like okay, but you know some of these contemporary ones are really putting their backs into it. True. Okay, so the first one is obviously Corn Daddy.
Yeah.
Because I like, and I'll get into this later, but like Corn Daddy, I just feel like had so many elements of being like, for how many pages? I'm guessing it was like 50, 60 pages off the top of my head.
I would bet at most.
Yeah. And there was so much even levelness of like, here's a little foreplay action in his dungeon, but then she says she wants to go. So he lets her go because consent's hot. And then she like tries to go and recreate that magic with a piece of corn and can't do it. Then she comes back and then they have a real like all out action moment. But true. It was like evenly paced, like because some of these like the naughty Mrs. Claus, like, you know, you just hit the ground running and you're just like smashing on every surface for 30 pages because that's what you got to do.
Yeah, because that's the point of that specific book.
Yes. So that's my monster one. And then my contemporary one is Silver Fox by Kayla Gross. I thought this was so fun. It's Dad's best friend. They go to a lake house. They accidentally both book the family lake house at the same time. And I mean, they're doing it on every surface and you they're like, it was like a, hey, just for the weekend, we're going to hook up. And then there's like a whole scene later where they go their separate ways, but then they can't stop thinking about each other. And then they come together at an award ceremony of some sort. And then like, they can't keep their hands off of each other. It was just like, yeah, but there was, she had a breeding kink. And so they used some special toys that like an axe that concept of ejaculation. Sure. They do anal, they do role play. It's like all sorts of things are happening for the weekend. So those are my two options there. So the next one is, what are our craziest moments from this year? And I have multiple because I had to break it down into sections.
I picked a couple because otherwise it would just be like the whole podcast.
Yes.
The entirety of Bagged by the Groceries by Fannie Tucker was my craziest say smut moment. It just how the grocery came together to have sex with this person was just not at all what I expected. That or Handle Me, because like it already would have been a pretty crazy what the smut book, but the whole subplot of sentient hockey stick with a creator made just for Jace, and then the hockey stick can come icy jizz. That's so funny. All of that was just banana pants for me. I loved it.
That's fair. That's fair. From a bodily perspective, I have to go with Elft.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are creating extra hands. We are spinning penises. We are having these magical tentacle things.
Mm-hmm.
We've got horns. We've got ribbed tongues. I mean, everything was happening.
A lot's going on.
Yeah, there was a lot. From a plot perspective, help, I fell in love with a pair of Crocs. Again, the fact that this was like her childhood friend or whatever, and mm-hmm. he goes missing and then somehow ends up in her secondhand shop as an adult with his gay lover from when they were kids because they got cursed. You just went through the whole plot. But
yeah, it's good.
I think like the plot perspective was very, very fun. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say fun, but like, yeah, it was just like, oh, they put a lot of thought into how two Crocs turn into two people.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting their backstory to be so jam-packed, and it's so jam-packed.
And then I think the last one I have is Butcher and Blackbird has, like, the shock factor of these crimes. Like, the sex mm-hmm. itself, it wasn't that crazy, but I think that's why it went viral online was because, like, you know, she's pulling out eyeballs. Like, that's her calling card is, mm-hmm. like, her eyeball thing. And then, like, you're putting cum in – you know, ice cream. And then the guy, you know, there's like unintentional cannibalism.
A lot of stuff going
yeah,
on.
Yeah. There's just like so many things happening. And then the second book with the main character is like, she crafts with the bodies of her victims. And so she makes like a snow globe with a guy's finger in it. Yeah. And like, I, the whole thing is just like, I think just like shock factor, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's how I kind of broke it up. Did you have any other crazy
My last one kind of ties into the next and last question of our kind of set of questions, so I'll just say that.
Okay, well, what was your best book that we have covered in 2024?
Can you guess?
Is it Corn Daddy?
No, it's Don Juan Velociraptor by Lola Voss.
I think that's a crime because you gave 100% to Corn Daddy.
I will rewrite history to give 100% to Don Juan Velociraptor. It's crazy.
We didn't get a penis description though.
I know. That's the only thing that was missing, but it was my favorite book. I just can't explain to you, and I think this video got put on our Instagram, the experience I had reading this book. I don't often like laugh hard out loud while reading. Mm-hmm. I super don't cry laughing while reading, and I was hysterical reading this book. It tickled me so much. I loved a sexy dinosaur with impossible magnetism. I loved a vague but evil corporation / political entity, the biggest say smut experience of probably my whole life, when it was just like the corporation.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Kind of not really looking into some really deep bad plots, just kind of leaving them for the end. It cracked me up. The only thing that was missing was, please tell me more about this dino's dick and the specific of how they're able to have sex. But it was my favorite. It is hard to describe the experience I had when I read this book, but it was the funniest and most fun experience I'd had.
It was, I will say, it's one of those that you genuinely can't tell me what's coming next.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's helicopters, there's private islands, there's
people are dying.
Yeah, yeah, no, assistants explosions. Are dying. Yeah, it was running from the police. It was
a crowd of people who love Don Juan Velociraptor not letting a not really understandable corporation kill him.
Yes, yes. So yeah, I'll give that to you. So that was good. Wild. I really didn't like, the only thing that held me back from that is I felt like the sex was not crazy.
No, it did have really good cover art.
No, the cover art was excellent.
Actually, some of the most beautiful cover art. Yeah. I really like that cover as well.
I pray that is not AI cover art. I don't think it is. It like seems slightly realistic enough. You know what I mean? Like it's like, like an artist actually made it instead of a. Anyway, my best book, if I'm thinking of all the components we consider,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is Corn Daddy.
Okay.
There was something about explaining Corn Daddy to external forces. Like when I was on a retreat when I picked Corn Daddy, and I was telling the girls on the retreat what I was doing, and they were like, it was like just understandable enough, but just not weird enough. You know, like a woman goes into a corn maze, which has like this being, this corn sentient being that overlooks the corn maze that she gets like kidnapped by. And I think like the writing was really fun. First of all, cover art sets the mood. I hate when people say don't judge the cover, because you have to, because it sets the entire fucking mood. And then you have this woman who gets stood up on her date. Mm-hmm. She goes into the corn maze. The corn maze can feel her moisture levels.
Yeah.
She gets brought into the basement to this corn man who we don't even quite understand his lore. And then as soon as she says she does not consent to what's going on, he lets her go. Mm-hmm. And then she tries to go home and like recover from this interaction and can't.
She tries to DIY. Not do that. Don't.
Literally tries to DIY. Goes back to the maze because he wants her to be his queen. Mm-hmm. And so like that was another plot point you could give the man, right? It's like, okay, he needs a queen so that he can continue the fertileness of this field. And then it goes into, she comes back and he's chasing her around, and then they get down and dirty. But in addition to that, it was such a fun, we get epilogues all the time.
Yeah.
That I feel like I don't always know what's coming with the epilogues of these novellas. And this was just funny because it was like a, she went missing and no one ever saw her. And really, she's just underground with his little cornets. I think that's cornlets corn, or something.
Yeah.
That's how they described it.
Corn cuties.
Yeah. And she's just chilling pregnant underground. Like
just.
So chilling. I felt like it just was really well paced. There's a lot of great elements of it. There are elements that I wish I could go back and give it 100% the more I thought on it. So. We both have regrets this year.
Yeah, we do. Look, who among us doesn't have regrets?
Was the Don Juan Velociraptor, is that Lola Faust?
Yes.
Lola, this is your official invitation to come back and redeem Don Juan and tell us what his penis looks like.
Tell us. Write a follow-up that just describes it.
Just his penis, though. Anyway, that is our year in review. Do you have any other thoughts and like things you want to talk about?
I mean, mostly I just had so much fun with everyone this year, and I can't wait to do it some more.
We're going to do it some more in the new year.
Do it some more.
If you don't know, we have the month of January off, and then we're going to come back and rejoin everybody in February. And we'll have, I already am setting up the new lineup for the new year. And we've got some interesting choices coming up.
I cannot wait.
As always, send us your recommendations, your book recommendations our way via email at saysmutpodcast@gmail.com. We also have more giveaways that I have set up, which you can follow along at Say Smut Podcast on Instagram and TikTok for however long we have TikTok. Who the hell knows?
TBD.
But we've had such a fun year with you. Thank you for supporting us as we do this. This is so fun when we get like messages from people we don't know.
Oh my God.
Telling us, or like comments from people we don't know.
Obviously, I appreciate every human being who I know who listens to this podcast, because I imagine to an extent that's a little bit weird. But people who don't even know me who are listening to this, that's crazy. Thanks for that.
No, it's so crazy. It's so crazy.
It's so crazy.
But in the meantime, while we're gone, you stay smutty, y'all.
Stay smutty. And hey, this is Hope's last pod of 2024. So have a great rest of your year.
Yeah.
And a happy new year.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Goodbye.